Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Beya Chaf Hey. We begin two lines from the top of the Amud. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Rabba, the son of Rav Huna, quotes Rav as follows. Amar Rav, Hasoicher Amas Hamayim Me'erav Yomtev. This fellow approaches a stream of water, which contains some fish. So it's a flowing stream. He presents a barrier within it. So he creates this dam. He does this before Yom Tov, which creates an enclosed area in which are contained fish. Ulamachar, the next morning on Yom Tov Hishkim, he gets up a matzah b'dogim and he finds some fish in that enclosed area, mutarn. Those fish are mutar, they're considered non-mukta entities because they were prepared before Yom Tov for Yom Tov use. Let's go over to Rashi, off to the right. Hasoicher amasamayim, soisma. He closes it. He presents a barrier within this stream, shalai konsubo dogim bachutz, to prevent fish coming in from the outside. Misha techshach. So starting from the beginning of Yom Tov, from nightfall, this stream is now blocked off from the outside. Ves eila hichen vehizmnai de maisezeh. By doing so, he prepared, he was mazman, the fish contained inside, for tomorrow's use. What does Rav tell us? They're mutar, because they were muchan amezuman for Yom Tov use. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Chizda, medivrei Rabbeinu nilmid. Now Rav Huna, Rav Chizda, and Rav Nachman were all talmidim of Rav. Says Rav Chizda, now that we have this halacha in the name of Rav, we can apply this further. Medivrei Rabbeinu nilmid, based on our Rebbe's chiddush, Rav's chiddush regarding this Amas Hamayim, we can learn further. Nilmoid chaya shekana no bepardes, of an animal who established her presence inside an orchard, in a closed area, so she gave birth there. That offspring, although wasn't really explicitly designated by its owner, but since that offspring is now enclosed and will find it very hard to get out of that enclosed area, eina tzricha zimun, that offspring does not have to be prepared for Yom Tov use. It's prepared by default. Its default state is prepared, because the owner knows that that young animal won't get out of the area. And in his mind, he had a mind, this is going to be for Yom Tov. So although he didn't make any mass, anything to indicate that he's preparing it for Yom Tov, it's considered prepared by default. So he compared the damming of the stream regarding the fish contained inside to the offspring born out in the orchard. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman responded, Nafal Chavrin, our colleague, referring to Rav Chizda. Again, Rav Nachman, Rav Chizda, and Rav Huna were all Talmidim of Rav. So Rav Nachman says, you know, our colleague, our friend Rav Nachman, was Nafal Rav Ravasa. He got involved in big controversy. He's going to be challenged with this comparison that he made. How do you compare the two things? I think more so explain what's wrong with the connection. There was another version. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna. So Rabba, the son of Rav Huna, who had quoted Rav in the first place regarding Soicher Amas Hamayim, to prepare the fish within it. So he was the one who quoted Rav in that halacha. He himself followed with another halacha. Rabba Bar Rav Huna, the son of Rav Huna, continued and he said, Medivir Rabbeinu Nilmid, based on Rav's halacha, we can derive further, Chaya Shekinen of Apardis, the animal who gave birth in the orchard, Eina Tzricha Zimun, that offspring does not have to be prepared explicitly. It's considered automatically prepared for Yom Tov use. So it wasn't Rav Huna, it was Rabba, the son of Rav Huna, who made this connection. Amar Rav Nachman, to which Rav Nachman responds, Nafal Bar Chavrin, Rav Ravasa, the son of our colleague, just got involved in big controversy. So Rabba, the son of Rav Huna, who was Rav Nachman's colleague, just created controversy. How could you compare? Look, Hasam like Avet Masa. In the case of the animal, there was no Masa done to indicate that it's preparing it for Yom Tov use. hachakavad maasa, as opposed to seicher amasamayim. He built a dam. He presented a barrier in the stream. It's an explicit maasa to indicate he's preparing the fish within it for Yom Tov use. How do you compare the two things? So he disagreed with this chiddush. Asks the Gemara, isn't Rav Nachman right? Do you mean to say you don't really need an explicit zimun, a maasa, to prepare the animal for Yom Tov use? We have a braisa which clearly tells us that a newborn animal has to be prepared. You have a newborn animal out in the paradis, you have to prepare it. And the braisa continues regarding this wild bird, tzipa drur, which looks very similar to its mother. So if you're preparing the child, the newborn chick, you have to tie up its wings or tie something on the wings to make a siman, an indicator, so it doesn't get mixed up with its mother because they look alike. So if there was a hazmana done on the chick, make sure to make a siman that you know which one it is. This was a testimony testified in the name of Shmai Vavtalin that a newborn animal out in the paradise isn't automatically prepared. You have to be mazmanit for Yom Tov Tiyuft. Indeed, this is a refutation on the Chiddush mentioned earlier. You have to make a maasa to indicate that this is prepared for Yom Tov use. Really, says the Gemara, mi boyo zimun? Does this newborn have to be prepared explicitly? Listen to this braisa about Tanya, Omer, Shimon, Elazar. Moedim, Besham, Beisil, all agree. Al sheiz minan b'secha kan. This is going back to birds. Prepared some birds inside the birdhouse. U'matzal f'nei kan. He finds some birds in front of the birdhouse. Shasur and their asur. We have to suspect, perhaps, these birds came from elsewhere. When do we say that birds need to be prepared? B'yoni shayvach. Birds living up in the birdhouse. Sort of wild birds. V'yoni aliyah, living up in the attic. V'tziparam shakarnu b'tfichin b'bira. Birds who camp out in these containers, b'bira, out in the walls of the mansions. So these aren't domesticated birds, and you have to prepare them if you want to use them for yomtiv. Otherwise, they're muktzah. Aval, however, domesticated animals, avozim, geese, duck, v'tarnagoyim, chickens, v'yoni hadisoyis, domesticated birds. So these pigeons are domesticated and automatically considered prepared. An animal who gave birth in the paradise. All these are mutarin vein tzrichen zimun. They're mutar without an explicit preparation. Here we go. Chaya shekana b'paradise is automatically muchan. Let's continue and finish the braisa. Once again, the halacha about the tzipa droyer, where the chick looks like its mother, you have to tie the wings of the offspring to make sure you have the right one. It doesn't get confused, mixed up with its mother. And all birds who were tied in advance of Yom Tov to indicate preparation. Those who were physically shaken, examined, to be mazmin them for Yom Tov use. So, if they're found in buries and wells, with batim and holes, with besichin and pits, with maris in caves, mutar, they can be used on Yom Tov. However, ubi ilonis, if they're up on the trees, asur, and you can't use them, shemayal of yidlish. We're concerned that if he climbs up, he might rip off a branch. One more halacha, which isn't really Yom Tov related, vamakusharn. Suppose you approach this wild bird, tie him up. You want to use it. Vamnunoin, you go and examine it. Throughout the year as well, they're asr. Nobody should approach these animals, these birds, mishum gezel, because if a stranger goes ahead and takes these birds which you have prepared, that's tantamount to stealing. Rashi learns because when you lifted it, you were kind of a hagbah. Taisa says it wasn't necessarily hagbah. Rather, we apply the concept of habata, kind of a hefker, peering and exerting effort, getting involved and preparing the hefker makes it yours. So no stranger should approach the birds which you have prepared for your own use. This is not really Yom Tov related. A general chayshe mishpat halacha. In any case, what do we see in this braisa? Chayashe kenava paradis. This freshly born animal out in the paradis. This enclosed area is considered automatically prepared for Yom Tov use. Because you know it can't get out of the area, and that's what you had in mind to use it. Whereas in the previous price, we learned that this newborn animal, Chaya Shekhanu of a paradise, Tzricha Lazam. We have a theory between Brisa 1, where you find the new animal has to be prepared, Brisa 2, which indicates otherwise. Amar of Nachman, like Kasha. The answer is very simple. Habba, Habba Ima. Brisa number 2 says that the Chaya Shekhanu of a paradise needs not any Zimun. That's Ba, the offspring, who will find it quite hard to escape from this enclosed area. So his das is on it, plans on using it. You don't have to actually do a masa to indicate Zimun. Ha-be-ima, the first brisa, which says you need to be mazamin, it's about the mother, who can easily escape the area, and therefore you have to be mazamin if you want to use it for tomorrow. Ima be-zimun sagila? You mean to say that hazmana is sufficient to set aside the mother? Say the Mal Yusubaya. She needs to be captured outright. You can't even do that on Yom Tov. So what do you mean? Mazminit is enough. Elo Marachmar Yitzchak. Idevi idebidida. You know what? Both brises are discussing the offspring. How do we explain this theorem? In one brise we see it needs Zimun. The other brise we say there is no need to have Zimun. Well, it depends how close to the city is. Ha begina smuchalir. Brisa says that it needs not any Zimun, speaking where the Gina, this orchard or this garden, is close to the city, in which case he's mindful of the fact that he's going to approach it on Yom Tov and partake from it. Ha Begina Sheina Smucha, whereas the other Brisa is speaking where the Gina is outside of the city's municipal boundaries, in which case he didn't know about it, he's not aware of it, he's not really planning on going there to get the animal. Some of Farshim learned that smucha means within the Ibur Shalir, the municipal boundaries of the city, which is about 70 amas out of the city. So if it's within that territory, it's considered close enough and connected to him and prepared automatically for his use. Whereas the one further out, he has no das on it, and unless he is mazminit explicitly, it's considered the muktzah. So bottom line is, if one makes a masa, it certainly works as an act of achana, tying up the wings, examining the birds, damming up the amas hamayim to enclose, to trap some fish within it. That certainly works. Regarding a chaya shekinu bepardes, a newborn animal in an enclosed area where you know the animal is sort of stuck and trapped in there, is that automatically considered muchan for yom tov use? According to the maskan of the Gemara, depends. If it's close by to the city, yes. Otherwise, not. This farmer notices an animal in precarious state of health. He wants to salvage his animal. Problem is, it's Yom Tov, and he already had his meal. There's no justification for a shechita. Lo yishchet, he can't shecht this behema mesukenes. Unless, elo im ken yesh shehus b'yom, there's still enough time left in the day, le'echol b'meno kezayis tzoli, to extract the kezayis of roasted meat from this animal. Roasting takes quicker than cooking. If he can get to that, that allows shechita on the entire animal and he saves his animal. Rabbi Kiva Omer, not even that. Afilu kezayis chai, mibeis tfi chos, even if he can only salvage a kezayis of raw meat from the makam shechita, easily accessible, and he'll eat it raw. It's mutar api halacha, even though there is dam inside. It's called dam hevarim shaloi pirish. Blood is still contained within the aver. You can eat it without salting. So this needs very little time. He still has enough time to do that. That allows him to do shechita to salvage his animal. Continues the Mishnah. Shachta besada. Suppose he did shechita on Yom Tov out in the field. A typical shechita, ordinary animal. How is he going to deliver it back home? Why would he end up a moita? He shouldn't deliver it using a pole, a big one or a small pole, which is derech choyl, derech zilzel. Shouldn't be carrying loads on Yom Tov. What then? Avo maybe biyada, evarim evarim. He can manually transport the animal one limb at a time. Let's go over to Rashi in the first wide line. Masnis, behem musukenes. So he sees this animal in danger. She yorish atomus, afraid that it's going to die. Veinet tzorechle. Really, he doesn't need the animal anymore. Shekvar saw tzodase. He's after his sudas Yom Tov. Elam machmas hef sedu shechet. He's concerned about salvaging his property. Lo yishchet elam ken yodea sheishos b'yayim lechel kazayis tzali heimeno. Rekiva adds, even a tzalait, a kazayis raw, based tzvichosay. Shu muzuman, umuvshet ma'ira v'oimet, it's easily accessible and exposed. That's even a smaller, shorter shear. Okay, typically, you do a shechita out in the field. How do you bring it home? Lo yivi ena b'moita b'moita. B'shnei b'nei adam, using two people, b'shum da'av shemilsehi, u'mazazal b'yamtiv. You're not meant to do these delivery jobs on yamtiv. Av shemilsa, it's this public load-carrying ceremony. It's weekdayish. It's not yomtivish, and therefore you shouldn't be doing this on yomtiv. Rather, bring it in one aver at a time. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rami Barab, hefshed v'netuach boila. Just as we find that the Torah requires flaying, removing the skin, and chopping up the oila before hakrova, v'uhadin l'katzav, the same applies to a butcher. Flay it, dissect the animal before partaking in it. Mikan limda teracheretz. We learn from here teracheretz. Shlo yoichal adam basar. Koydim hefshet v'netuach. A person should not eat basar from the whole animal. Rather, first remove the skin, chop it up, and then partake in the basar. Now, Michael Mashmalan, what kind of lesson was he trying to teach us? When Rami Bar Abba says, do you have to flay and cut it up? Does he mean derech eretz? The proper way is to cut it up, small portions, and then eat it, rather than eating from the animal as a unit. Is it just derech eretz concerns, or is there a halachic basis to what he tells us? Perhaps he's trying to tell us that you have to first open the animal, cut it up, and get to the inside to inspect, to examine the interior of the animal to ensure there are no trefes there, there are no internal wounds, before you go out and eat the animal. Because if you eat it whole, you'll never know whether there was a trefe inside. Is that the point? Michael Marshman, what was he trying to teach us? Was he coming to disagree, to oppose Rav Huna, who does not require inspection prior to eating? Tamar Rav Huna. Rav Huna set forth the following rule. Behema b'chaya b'cheskas isur emedes. You meant to know that an animal, while it's alive, is considered b'cheskas isur, presumed to be asur. Why? Says Rashi, because an animal, while alive, is certainly asur. Eiver b'nachai, you can't eat a live animal. Tosis has a different pshat. It's in a state of loy nishchata. There's an isur of she'eno zvucha, it's a chiddush of Tosis, that an unshechted animal is asur because it's unshechted. So even while it's alive, there's an isur because it's lacking shechita. Either way, b'chaya b'cheskas isur medes, it's presumed to be asur until you know otherwise, until you change its status with certainty. Unless you know with certainty how and in which way it was shechted and done properly. Meaning, let's say there was a suffix regarding the kashrus of the shechita. It's asr. It was asr until now. It remains asr. Unless you know with certainty that it was mutter, that the shechita was valid. However, nishchata, once you did the shechita properly, there's no question regarding the shechita. So you have a shechted animal. Now its status changed from isa to heter. B'cheskas heter emedes. It's presumed to be mutter achi vodel chava menetrefa. Unless you know with certainty that there's a trefer inside. Otherwise, you don't need to suspect that there's a trefa that has an internal wound, because the animal is presumed to be kosher. Roiv animals have no issues of trefa. So, according to Rav Huna, once you do shechita, you're free to have the animal. It's mutar b'achila even prior to examination and inspection. It would seem that Rami Bar Abba was trying to disagree with that. Don't eat it before hefshet v'netuach, when you'll have the opportunity to examine the interior to confirm there's no treifa. V'anan t'nan mas nisin k'd Rav Huna. But we have a Mishnah which supports Rav Huna. You don't need to examine prior to eating. It's not. Rabbi Kiva Omer afilu k'zayis chaim beis tvichaso. right? You could shech the animal on Yantav as long as there's enough time to extract at least a kazayis from the makam hashchita prior to examination, prior to hefshet v'netuach. Apparently, that's not a prerequisite for achila. My love should not assume beis tzvichasa mamish. He meant literally from the makam hashchita. So you're eating the animal while it's still whole. Why? That's not what he meant. Mimakam shetivachas achilas. Tvichasa is referring to the innards, the intestines, the stomach area where it grinds and digests its food. So certainly you have to open up the animal, inspect the inside, make a full examination to confirm that there's no trefa, and then you could have it. What do you mean? Vatani Rabchi and his braisa learned Mimakam tvichasa mamash, that you can access the makam hashchita and have it straight from there. So apparently there's no din to examine the animal prior to eating. So what then did Rami Bar Abba mean when he said, just as an oila needs hefshet v'netuach, likewise ordinary animal as well? A butcher should make sure to flay, cut up before eating. Ella Rami Bar Abba oirach arok mashmon. He was just teaching us a lesson in Derech Eretz. Because Sanya, as we're going to see in a Braisa, the Tanoim were very concerned about teaching Klal Yisrael Derech Eretz and proper mealtime etiquette. Let's go up to Rashi. Oirach Ara. V'loi mishum isa treif. Nothing to do with treif, just Derech Eretz. Don't eat it while it's still whole. Cut it up and eat it in a civil manner. Says Rashi, Kedesanya Matsina, we find Av Tanoim Shemalamdim Hilchas Derech Eretz. Shelo Yeru Adam Atzma Labrius Karavsin. A person should take care, present himself civilly, not as a gluttonous fellow. Av Zeh HaMemar Lechel Kodim Hefshet Nir Karavsin. Likewise, his fellow who hurries up and eats the basar while it's still intact before Hefshet Netuach, it's an expression of gluttony and improper. So the point was to consume the basar in a derech eretz manner. Taisus has another twist on it. He says that there's a halacha concern as well. So although technically the basar is mutter even prior to an inspection, as we just concluded, but at the end of the day, if it should turn out to have been a treifa, suppose after he opens it up and he finds something wrong, it's not going to be considered oynes. It's not going to be considered an accident for which he's absolutely not responsible for it. Rather, it's a shaykik. It's not deliberate iser. It's not made it chas v'shom. But it's not considered an oynes because he could have taken his time a bit and checked the animal. So to save yourself that oynes of shaykik, better open the animal, do some examination inside to ascertain that there's no trefa there, and proceed to consume the animal. So either way, it's good advice, although not mandated, but it's derech eretz and proper to first do hefshet v'netuach and then consume the animal. Continues the Gemara on the top line. This is something we find in the Brice. Lo yichal adam shum u'batzel mireishe. One should not eat a head of garlic or an onion mireishe, going straight to the core. Elami olav, rather, start from the top. Start with the outer leaves and make your way to the core. Vim achal, but if he did it otherwise, it went straight to the roish. Hari is a ravsan. This is an expression of gluttony. Kayetzabai, similarly, lo yishta adam koisibas achas. One shouldn't drink his entire cup in one shot. Vim shasa, if he does so, hari is a gargaron. This is an expression of gluttony. Tan rabban, in similar vein, we learned in a braisa in Meseches Derech Eretz. If one drinks an entire cup at once, har is a gargon, shnayim, if he does it in two gulps, this is derech eretz. Shloisha, if he does it in three gulps, takes his time, migasi ruach, an expression of haughtiness. V'omar Rami Bar Abba, this is another lesson from the same other Omar. Chatzuva, which was a certain plant, as she says in Esev, shesharoshav noikvin v'yordim bo'emik. They used to use it to border to delineate borders of properties, and very suitable for that purpose because it grows straight, its roots go straight down don't veer off to the side. So it creates a proper delineation, goes straight down. And what lesson can we learn from this chatzuva plant? It doesn't deviate, doesn't take over the other person's property, goes straight down, keeps its mind its own business. Chatzuva mekateya raglei under reshiaya. It undoes the legs, so to speak, of reshaim, who encroach on other people's property. Take a lesson from this plant, who grows in a disciplined fashion. Netzia, a newly planted fruit tree, which of course is erla and usher for consumption during the first 3 years, that's going to teach a lesson to the following people. Mekatea ragleyon, it chops off the legs, meaning it challenges the katzavaya, the butchers, who hurry up to eat their meat before they inspect for a treifa. As we said, that's the way to do it. Really, they should be taking their time, but they hurry up. And at times, it will be discovered to have been a treifa. Where's the patience? Learn from the erla tree. The lesson learned from there is, wait for the proper time. So that's the lesson for the katzavim, the butchers, the boyel and nidas, the ones who live with a nida, and rather than waiting for them to become tar. So that's the lesson learned from the erla tree, everything in its right place and right time. What do we learn from the turmusa, this bean which needs to be cooked 7 times for it to become edible? So this turmus is a lesson for Klal Yisrael. Mekatea ragleyon, the son Eon shall Yisrael, it undoes the legs, it challenges the enemies of Yisrael. It's a phrase for Klal Yisrael, who stray from Hashem over and over again, 7 times, no less. And each time Hashem has to sort of trouble himself to turn them back to him, and gives them einshim. And even after all that treatment, 7 times over and over, they still stubbornly refuse to turn back to Hashem. Shenemar v'yisifu b'nei Yisrael las Yisrael b'nei Hashem. They proceed and add it in their riches to Hashem. Vayavdu, and they worshipped a whole list of idols, 7 in number. Esar Baalim, Esar Ashtoreis, Ves Elohei Aram, Ves Elohei Tzidon, Ves Elohei Moav, Ves Elohei Bnei Amon, Ves Elohei Plishtim, total of 7. Vayazbos Hashem, Vayavdu, they forsook Hashem, and did not serve Him. This seems to be a repetition, a double lashon. Masrish shenema v'yazos Hashem. Once we say that, any idea? Don't I know? I'm a yon shloy avdu. Once they abandoned, certainly they didn't serve him. Or matam adloim avdu. Why does the pasuk add that description? Omar b'leza. There's a profound lesson here. There's a musar to Klal Yisrael. Omar kadosh baruch Hashem laments, complains to Klal Yisrael. Afilu k'tur masazeh. Why don't you take a lesson from this bean, although inedible at first? But after it undergoes this extensive treatment, he turns back. He's edible. He's very, very delicious. Sheshol can oisei sheva pa'amim. After it's cooked 7 times, va'ochel oisei b'kinuch sud, it's eaten as a dessert. So afilu keturmas hazeh, sheshol can oisei sheva pa'amim, va'ochel oisei b'kinuch sud, lo yasuni banai. You didn't even treat me like that. Turmas, meaning, after all this tircha, I tried to turn you back to me. I tried to have you come back to me. I did einshim and punishments and all kinds of things to motivate you. Come back to me, come back to me. You still refuse to return. So again, Hashem complains, afilu keturmas hazeh, your behavior doesn't even conform to the bean. Shesholken oisei sheva pa'amim, which after being soaked 7 times, after being cooked 7 times, he's perfectly edible. V'ochel oisei b'kinuach suda, lo yasuni banai, my children haven't even conformed to that behavior. Tana mishmei Rav Meir, of a brisa, in the name of Rav Meir. B'pnei ma nitna Torah Yisrael. You know why Torah was given specifically to Klal Yisrael? B'pnei shein azen, because they're stubborn, they're brazen, they have internal brazenness. So Klal Yisrael is a very driven nation, full of energy, persistent, and they need the Torah to show them how to channel their energy and use it only for good. Tana Dvere Bishmo. Mimina Ish Des Lamed. Torah is compared to fire given from the right hand of Hashem. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hashem declares, Ru'uyon Halalu. Klal Yisrael is so suitable to be recipients of this fiery Torah, which will put them in line. Shetinos Lam Ish Das Ish. Klal Yisrael is fitting as Ru'uyon that the Das Ish, the fiery Torah, should be given to them. Igad Ami, another version is, Dasem Shel Elu Ish. The practice, the nature, the custom of Klal Yisrael is described as fire. They're driven, they're motivated, they're persistent, they persevere, and they need the Torah to show them how to channel this energy in the right direction. Shel Mole Nitn Tov Yisrael. You know what? If not for the fact that Torah was given to the Yisrael to keep them in line, to show them how to harness their abilities and their talents and their energy. Ein kol uma v'loshen yichoylen lamed b'fneim. No other nation will be able to stand, will be able to challenge them and stand before them. And Hashem wants Klal Yisrael to be submissive, subdued. At times, unfortunately, we have to go into gullus. So the Torah packages the energy, shows us how to direct the energy, and keeps us somewhat subdued and in line. V'ayinu d'om Rav Shimon Lakish. As Rish Lakish says, Gimel Azanein. There are three things in the world which are described as being brazen. Yisrael b'umais. Klal Yisrael amongst the nations. Kelev b'chayis. A dog is the most brazen amongst the animal family. Tarnagol is the most brazen b'ayfais amongst the birds. V'yish oimrim, some add, Af eiz b'mehim adak, the goat amongst the light animals. V'yish oimrim av tzlaf b'ilonais, the tzlaf tree, which Tesis says gives off many different types of fruit. It has that persistence. B'ilonais amongst the fruit trees. Marsha says that the description of Azin, for instance, Yisrael, Azin b'umma is the most brazen amongst the nations, isn't necessarily a negative trait. We're speaking about internal brazenness, persistence, being driven, being motivated, sticking to the task, going to the finish line. Klal Yisrael has that. We have that extra energy. And he says the same regarding the other examples mentioned. For instance, Kelev b'chayis, Tarnagol b'ayfis. He says, you know, it isn't necessarily the fact that they're the biggest or the strongest. They aren't. But they display, they exhibit a brazenness, a consistency, which is beyond their size or rank. The animal affords protection. He's there for its owner all the time. He's brazen. He's consistent. He's dedicated to the task. The rooster crows every morning. The goat amongst the behemoth daka somehow expresses that as well. And that Slav Bilonis, the Tesis says, he gives off those fruit on a constant basis. Three different types of fruit. Another pshat, he says, the juice of that fruit tree is azo, has that some sort of acidity and used for keteris. So it expresses, displays this extra energy, this extra power, consistency, perseverance, and dedication. In fact, the Gemara on Shabbos says that Yisrael adi igi b'mitzvahs, they're always anxious, running from one mitzvah to the other, charedim adi'egim, which you don't really find by going. We have that extra energy, that drive, that commitment, that dedication, impatience, so to speak, sometimes. And if we use it properly, it's actually a good trait. Okay, continues the Gemara. Shachta b'soda le'yivena b'moit. It's a yantiv. He did a shechita on the field. How does he deliver? Don't deliver in an overt fashion, rather in a most subdued manner, one part at a time, in a yantiv manner. Likewise, says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, we learn a brisa. Ein asuma yoytziv makli. A blind man shouldn't go out carrying his walking stick if he can walk without it. V'lo yoroi b'tarmiloi, nor a shepherd with his backpack. He shouldn't be carrying loads on yantiv. V'ein yoytzin b'kisei, nor should a person be transported in his chair on yantiv. Echad ha'ish v'echad ha'isha, whether man or woman. Ein, is that a concern? Transporting a person on his chair on yantiv is a concern. V'ashalach Rav Yaakov ha'idi. Rav Yaakov sent the following message. Zok and echad ha'i b'shchon ha'seinu. There was this older man in our neighborhood. V'yoytzei b'geludki shaloi. And he would be carried out on Yom Tov in his chair. Is this permissible? And what do you say, Vamar? Well, it depends. He's a public figure. He needs to be transported to Beis HaMedrash to give the shir, and you can do that. V'samcha Rabbi Seinu al divrei achi shake, and our teachers were soymech, our rabbein was soymech to be matur, based on the words of achi shake, that was his name, the Omar, who testified that he himself used to do this to big chacham, ana afikti l'Rav Huna, I carried Rav Huna with his chair, mehini l'shili, from a place called Hini to a place called Shili. Umishili lehini, from Shili back to Hini. Va'amar b'nach mar Yitzhak, he as well testified, I myself personally afikti l'mashmo, I transported mashmo using his chair, mishim shalatula, from sun to shade, matula shimsha, from shade to sun. So we see that you can transport a person on Yom Tov on his chair. In contrast to the Brisa, which told us otherwise. Says the Gemara, that's different. Hasam could have turned it on a time. The Gemara itself already explained. Those are exceptions to the rule. Imhayu Rav and Tzrichin Limutar. A person is a public figure. He's needed for the drasha. He's a Rav. You have to bring him to shul, etc. We make exception. But typically, we don't want to run into the concern of being a Zalzal and Yantav by carrying people and loads out in the street, or some say even in the Chatzar. It's not a Yantav way of behaving. Amali Rav Nachman l'chama barada. Rav Nachman asked Chama barada, who was called Shliach Tzion because he used to travel up to Yerushalayim regularly. He says, do me a favor. Kesakas l'hasam. When you get up to Eretz Yisrael, Akif, I want to ask you, please, take a detour. Akif, Vizil, and go to the area called Asulam de Tzur, the steep area of Tzur, of Tyre, by Lebanon. So go to that area, and go find Vizil Legabe the Rav Yaakov Aridi. Go visit Rav Yaakov and ask him a shaila. Uboy Munei, ask him, Kise, Ma'atun Bey, what's your opinion regarding transporting a person via his chair on Yom Tov? At the Osel, by the time you got up to Tzur, at the Osel Lahosim, by the time you arrived, Noch Nafshei the Rav Yaakov Aridi. Rav Yaakov passed away. He couldn't ask him. Kisalak, so he could proceed further when he got there to Yisrael. He found Rabbi Zrika, and he asked him the shayla, Amalei, Kisei Ma'atun Bey, what's your opinion regarding the Kisei? Amalei, Rabbi Zrika responds, Hachi Amar Ami, I'll tell you what Rabbi Ami says. Ubavashalei Katif, this fellow is a public figure, we can transport him, provided you don't do Yikatif. What does that mean? Mai Ubavashalei Katif, what did he mean? Amar Rabbi Yosef Breidurava, Ba'alunki, don't carry him out, Ba'alunki, like on a stretcher. Rashi explains, you have Reuven putting his hand on Shimon's shoulder, Shimon walking next and puts his hand on Reuven's shoulder, and on top of that, you perch the chair up. That's Derech Cholofar Hesed, it's a public demonstration of carrying a load. Rashi says, it looks like you're taking him Lamakim Rochik far away. It doesn't conform, it doesn't fit to Yom Tov. Okay, so you can transport him as long as you don't do it in this overly public manner. Eini, is that so? V'omer Rav Nachman. Nachman himself says, V'Rav Nachman Sharala Liyasa. Rav Nachman allowed Yalsa, that was the name of his wife, who was the daughter of the Resh Galusa. So he allowed his wife, Lemepe Galunki, to be carried out in this manner. Shani Yalsa the Be'isa. There it's different because she was fearful of heights. So unless they positioned her properly on this alunki arrangement, which keeps her safe and steady and secure, it wouldn't work for her. So they made exception in that case. And Tesis adds that apparently she was a public figure, a daughter of the Resh Galusa, and apparently they needed her for whatever it is. So they allowed her to be carried out on the chair to begin with. And even in this extensive manner, because of the particular need of this issue. Likewise, Ameimar, Umazutra, Mekatfi Lahu, B'Shabbata Derigla. They were carried out in this overt fashion on the Shabbos before Yom Tov, when they were on the way to the Beis HaMedrash to give the Shiur, Mishum B'Yasusa, because of Pachat. Rashi adds the word B'Yasusa de Tzibura, because once they got there, everybody jumped up in their honor, and they would be gripped with fear when that happens. A big crowd, the share, who knows, out in the town square. So everyone jumps up, and on account of that pachad, they had to be safely secured in this manner. And therefore, they made an exception in this case. Of Amrila, some say, Mishum Dukha de Tzibur. The concern was to avoid burdening the crowd, because they would get up as soon as the Chacham would arrive. And by positioning them above the arms in this manner, they would be able to get them over to their place in an expedited fashion and shorten the time when the Tzibur would have to stand on the legs. So therefore, on account of Kavod HaTzibur, Dechak HaTzibur, they made this exception to put them up on the shoulders and quickly get them over to their place on Yom Tov. Okay, let's make a quick chazara. What did we learn today? We spoke about preparing fish and animals. If you do a maase, such as being Secher Amas HaMayim, that certainly is mutter. What about if it wasn't done through a maase, just a machshava, in a case, let's say, of an animal giving birth in the paradis. So the offspring has a hard time getting out of there. So it's really trapped and sort of prepared, but he didn't really do a masa to show, to indicate hachana. The Gemara's maskana is, if it's close to the city, that's enough. Otherwise, that type of default hazmana doesn't really work. We learned about a chayim masukenes, which he'd like to be sheichet before it dies on him. So if he can access a kazayis in a roasted manner, that's mutter, or rakiva, even a raw kazayis, from the Makam HaShechita, as the Gemara concludes, you don't really have to examine the animal prior to Shechita, prior to eating. However, it's minig derecheres to do so. Same thing regarding drinking it a little bit at a time. A cup in two gulps is called Derech Eretz. We learned about Yisrael Azen Ba'umais, who can channel their brazenness to good things. We learned about transporting items or people on Yom Tov in a subdued manner as befitting Kavod of Yom Tov. We spoke about transporting a person on a kisei, which is really not to be done except if it's Rabban Tzrichin Loi, if there's a need to get him over to the Beis HaMedrash in an efficient manner. And in the case of Pachad or Dechak Ditzibura, they allow it to be done even in an eifen called Lekasef Alunki, which was a more overt manner due to the tzorech of Yom Tov. Kol tov to you and much hatzlacha.